Blog Talk Radio.
The Spirit of God is in this place. The Spirit of
morning, good morning, good morning. The song seems to want to be staticky this morning, but we're still looking for the song for this book. So if you have any suggestions, please let Overseer know. I am your host for Words from the Word. This is actually the last Friday in the month of 2024. I am so excited about you joining us this morning. God has a word for us. And as we gather in our Fellowship of Learner 9 o'clock hour, we are going to receive what he has for us. We will receive it through the written word, through the authored word, and through the revelation. Excuse me, that he through the revelation that he gives us. And this overseer needs to take a haul this morning. I trust that all is well with you, because I trust the promises of God in your life and in my life. And they are given to us so that we can have all we need for holy living and respond to the assigned call on our life. So we're looking at some of the things that our tongue does. And we have looked at the creative power of the word, of what God did when he created the world. We want to always reflect back on that so that we can get a deeper revelation of just what happened in the beginning. In the beginning, when God created the heaven and earth, and then everything he lined up that followed, that all led to him and us having a relationship with him as sons and daughters. And so understanding that will help us to understand the inheritance that has been placed upon and in our life through the work of the cross and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says in the Gospels the fact that, or in the New Testament, the fact that we need to understand the power of his might, that power, that resurrected power that raised Christ from the dead is rising in us when we embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit, when we have embraced the truth of the gospel, when we have heard and then confessed with our mouth, a continuous affirmation and confession. Continuous because we are now living as new creatures. I love the way the author shares, and he says the fact that, you know, a lot of people, they want to right now look and see something different within their lives. And he says, when you're born again, you know, naturally overstate a hard time finding it. But is sharing the fact that your body is not new. It's new as your spirit man. And as your spirit man is acknowledged in the new body, it brings under subjection all those other things that we like to see immediately to judge a level of salvation. And so we want to, it's here on the page 35. He says, you must not have been saved. Well, it starts with the devil said, if you are saved, you wouldn't want to do that. You must have not receive anything. You must not have been saved, or you wouldn't have that thought and these bad thoughts? Well, to share with us is our head didn't get saved. Our body didn't get saved. Our spirit was born again. We were created the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ with God on the inside. So now it must permeate in outward, and the spirit man must bring the body into subjection to the spirit. You have to mortify some deeds of your body to go to church, to hear God's word, or to read the Bible. This body of flesh has to be disciplined to the word of God. Your body does not always want to do the things spirit should do. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. And so it takes us to a point of know what your salvation looks like. Know and understand where you are in your path of maturity. Know and understand God's process. That's why we went through one of the books, The God We May Not Know, because he has a way of doing things that just doesn't seem to make sense, which brings us to our third chapter in the tongue, a creative force. Anybody looks at the young people's gaming and Thrones, Games of Thrones, and all of those kinds of movies and stories, and there's always some force that is that takes over something, and that force is respected. It's always fought against. There's always somebody fighting against that force. And so what God wants us to understand is the force that we have is a creative one that's going to create something that did not exist before and have the authority over it. And so he shares in the third chapter, Christian sense. It says, when you continuously affirm and confess, I thank God, though it looks like the mountain's problem is getting bigger, it is not. In the name of Jesus, I see it removed by the eye of faith. Someone will say only a nut would say that. If the mountain's still there, if the trouble is still there, you know it's there. You can't deny its existence. And this is the place where a lot of us stumble. It's the place that a lot of us get stuck at because we say it, God said it, we believe it, but we don't confess it continuously. And then what we end up doing is looking with our eyes and not our faith, which is why we walk by faith and not by sight. So it was an interesting scenario that the author put forth, and I'm just going to read it because the details of it, when you think about it, you'll realize just the type of level of faith he is talking about as it relates to this mountain that he says will be removed. It says, let me give you an illustration. Suppose you're driving down a highway at 60 miles an hour. Someone pulls out three blocks ahead of you, and they are right in the middle of the freeway, crossways. You slam on your brakes and say, there's a car right in the middle of the road. A car from behind hits you, and suddenly there is a 10-car pileup. somebody says, what's wrong with you? You say, why, there was a car in the road. Well, sure it was, but it was doing 30 miles an hour. Just two more seconds, and it would have been gone. You were going totally by what you saw. You observed what was there, then you slammed on the brakes. That is what a lot of Christian people do. Whoa, it's still there. Still there. You have established it, but if you will confess its removal, praise God, when you get there, it's going to be gone. You see, if your car, if you drive your car the way you've been driving your spiritual life, you would have wrecked that thing a dozen times and those around you as well. It says you don't pay any attention to the car out there three blocks up the road. The computer in our head is telling us he's going 30 miles an hour. In two more seconds, he'll be on the other side of the road. There's no danger. I'll just keep going. And you sit there and you see that car. You never flinch. You never reach for the brakes. You just drive along perfectly at ease. Why? Because you have faith in what the guy is doing. You are actually believing something you are not seeing. I thought that was such a powerful statement because it is showing how we have more faith in what other people are doing, people that we don't know. And we live our life based on what someone is doing that we don't know, especially every time we get in a car. And yet we won't trust God. It says, because you have faith in what driver is doing, you are actually believing something that you are not seeing. And so when that car shoots out and is going across the freeway that you're going on at 60 miles an hour, now, it'd be a long time since Overseer has been driving, but I do think I might slow down just a little bit, but I wouldn't stop at 60 miles an hour on the freeway because something is going past, going across, because my brain is telling me it's still moving. When I get there, it won't be there. We believe, we confess with our actions. This is where our actions make the confession of our faith, and we keep driving. And when we get there, the car is gone. Now, if we see the car stall and the driver car doesn't work, there's all other kinds of scenarios that could possibly happen. But at that point, then our brain starts to renegotiate our thinking and, as a result, adjust our behavior. And in that adjustment, I enjoy the way the author shares. It's a really interesting chapter because it says that's Christian sense. Now, that doesn't make sense to other people to walk by faith and not by sight. And yet, that's what we do on a daily basis. And I thought that driving scenario was such an ideal one because every day we're having faith and those that are around us that, first of all, they know how to drive. We're trusting that because they're on the road in a car, that they know how to drive and that they will follow the rules. And as we do it, we can navigate together safely. And that's exactly what God wants us to know. Know that he is the law. He is the force. It is him that has released the nature of our journey in him, in Christ, and he will do what he says he will do. and we can trust him. And so we can keep going. Now, the author shares now, if we do that to the storms of life, it come against us, and the devil says, look here, you will never be able to get over that, a sickness, or circumstances, or some major tragedy, a loss. Those kinds of things, you know, you just ignore him and say, thank God, I believe the word. It will not be there when I get there. It said that kind of faith will move mountains. You may get to the foot of the mountain sometimes before it moves. It will either move or there will be a hole that you can go through it. God has a way of fulfilling his word that doesn't always make human sense, but it is Christian sense. It is the sense of those that are following Christ. There was a lot that Christ did that the disciples and the scribes and the Sadducees did not think made sense. But it was God's way. The cross didn't make sense, but that was the Christian sense. That was the way of Christ. That was the way God chose to do it, to build the faith of those who say they trust in him. So if you trust in him and him driving a car and you trust in that God will keep going and get out the way, that you can even at that point, if he doesn't get out the way, God will give you the way of escape. He'll show you how to go around. And we may say, well, the mountain didn't move. It wasn't in my way any longer. When God, he says, I'll make the crooked path straight. He made another way. And we only saw that one way because it was just looming in front of us. But God has so much more that he sees from his vantage point that we are actually at his vantage point because we're sitting in heavenly places, and a mountain is the least of his concern. He said, I can make the mountain clap. And so if we understand and we believe that, then we understand the force of what we say. What we say will start to mold and transform what we think. And it's in that point that that faith that he gives us becomes stronger and stronger, and the spirit man will take over the flesh. And it will bring the flesh into submission, into subjection to the word of God. What you want done, and we've heard of name it and claim it and that sort of thing, but that is not what the author is sharing here. He's sharing the fact that, first of all, the force of the words that come out of our mouth are going to produce something. And so often what they are communicating is not really what we want them to produce, but rather they are ammunition, if you will, for the enemy. So when we say, dear God, it's getting worse, we are looking with our eyes and we are giving authority to the enemy. Ooh, it's getting worse. No, God says, and when we say what God says, that ought to tell us something. Throughout the Bible, when Christ spoke to the different areas of life, when God spoke to the Red Sea, they do what he says. They become to him. And when we understand who we are in Christ, when we understand what happened in the book of Genesis and what happened in the New Testament of what was given us from what Christ had, so that we have become adopted sons and daughters, not just prodigal ones, not just ones that are afar off, but we sit at the table with him. We sit in these heavenly places with him. And as a result, we have to cultivate our spiritual eyesight. And to do that, we start by hearing the word of God, believing it by making our bodies and mind subject to the principles of the word of God, the power of the word of God, the force of the word of God. So when we pray and we talk about what's bad, then we're not praying God's word, actually praying the problem and not releasing the solution. He says that you can have what you say, and you say it, it's getting worse, then that's exactly what you're going to have. It's going to get worse. This is overwhelming. You say it, then it is. He says, don't fear. He said, I have overcome that. Nothing can overcome you, can be overwhelming you, because you are more than a conqueror. This has been done for you. But is how much of that faith or that truth have we exercised our minds and our bodies, our physical minds and body, in that truth so that it calms it and then crucifies it? So to the point where that's just not something that will come out of my mouth, because I understand what comes out of my mouth has a creative force. And the force that I want to create is that thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And so we have to, Jesus said, the God kind of faith by the words of a mouth. There is no release of the God kind of faith without the words of the mouth. It is released by the word of your mouth. We must agree with God. And to agree with God, we need to know God. The author is going to go into a deeper study of a love. I love it when I got to this part, I thought about the First Peter, but I wasn't sure where it was. And I looked it up, and I said, we're going to have to go through this First Peter, only to find out a couple of pages. The author does. He goes into quite a bit of examining this First Peter and what it says. But in Luke 17:5-6, the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, increase our faith. Give us more faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye ought say unto the sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. I love that. There is so much impacted in that that lets us see and know the power or the force of the tongue. If you say, and as they asked him, Lord, increase our faith, they were declaring they didn't have enough faith. They were standing there by that tree. It probably wasn't close to a mountain. He said that tree should obey you. He didn't say a word about increasing their faith. In other words, he said, you got to learn to use what you have. He said the way you use it, start saying some things in faith. I love it. And he says you can start using what you have. And we have always said, if you had the faith size of mustard seed. So did we think we had a smaller faith? I don't think so. Because he said he gave us the measure of faith, not a measure, but the measure that we needed. Remember, he gives us all things that we need for holy living. We got it. And so holy living includes speaking to the tree. And I love it when he looked at this tree. He said, pluck it up by its root. You can never come back to that spot. He said, and then plant it in the sea. The sea is deep. And once it goes down there, it's done. There's oftentimes he uses this sea. He'll put our sins in the sea of forgetfulness. There's this indication of this vast burying process that covers up, never to be really seen again, because the water is covering the earth. And when you put that tree, root and all, in this sea, and sea is the waters of the sea do not encourage the life that would be grown on land, because it's not fresh water, it's salt water, and all of those, there's so much is impacted in that little bit. And when you take it apart, you really become impressed with the force of this power. And then when you remember that this starts in Genesis, when God created the heavens and earth, and he said he put all things on earth and in the earth with its own seed. So whatever the earth needed to bring forth this lush world was in the seed that the Lord planted within the earth. And that's the same thing that's in us. In that seed, in that truth, in that Holy Spirit planted in us is everything we need to bloom and blossom according to the nature of God. So now we need to understand what the nature of God is. He's awesome, okay? We stand in awe at what he does, and we don't even stand in full awe because we don't have enough mind to grasp the vastness of his magnificence. And little by little, as he reveals it to us, we're blown away. But it is at that point where our faith grabs hold to the nourishment that we need, which is the nature of God, to understand who we are so that we can go forth in that creative power and declare thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Not just words, not just the memorization of a scripture, but the power of the creative word that we are releasing. But if we don't understand the power of that word and co-sign our conversation to line up with it every time we release something out of our mouth, then that's when he said, if you believe and don't doubt, if you believe and you stand on it, if you believe and you adjust your flesh to go along with this or die. And that's what he's requiring that we do. Crucify yourself every day, because there's going to be, every day there's going to be something new that we're going to realize does not line up with God, and God will help through the Holy Spirit to bring us into harmony with him. And that's what we're looking for, seeking for, desiring. And when we seek for that and desire that and confess that with our mouth, then it will come to pass. It will happen. And you will see it happen in the spirit realm. But we will see it happen. And it says, if you don't pay any attention to the car, the street. Oh, man, I lost my page. Okay. He says, there were standing there by the tree. It probably wasn't close to a mountain. He said that this tree should obey you. Now, in the garden, we were told that this was one of the assignments on the life of Adam. He was in charge of the garden. He was in charge of the animals. God said that they would listen to him. He's given us a setup of this creative force of our mouth. And if he spoke it, that became their name. They became that which he spoke. God created it, but Adam named it. And in the naming of it, the force of that name then started to establish the nature of what he was talking about. And he said it without knowing, because he didn't know what a zebra was or whatever. But he looked, and that's what he thought, that's what came in his spirit, and that's what he declared, and it's been a zebra ever since. And so when we understand, that's the creative power of the tongue. It created these characteristics and traits in the things around us, just as it controls those things that are around us. So we gave that authority up in the garden, but Christ wanted back for us. And then he went through the earth showing us what we have and had given up, trying to introduce us to the creative power that we were intended to have in the first place. And so what he did was he came across a tree. That tree don't feed me, then it let it wither up and feed no man never. And the tree instantly obeyed because of the creative force in the Son of God. And we are the sons and daughters of God. And we have that same creative, we have it, but we must confess it. Confessing means that every conversation has to, and I'm just saying, co-sign what God says. Release the word what God says. Otherwise, he says, you got to learn to use what you have. He said the way you use it is to start saying things by faith. Just like you're driving. And by faith, when you see that car, your brain tells you, keep going, it's going to move out of your way. Well, that's what the word of God says. Keep going, it's going to move out of your way. See it removed. Say it removed. Continue your momentum as though it is not there. And trust of what God says. Now, trust what he says, but don't try to define the way you think it ought to look. So you now have to trust not just what he says, but what it's going to look like, his word. We often want him to fulfill his word according to the way we see a thing. Well, then we're not walking by faith. But we need to know that whatever happens, he will make it all work to my good. I don't know what it'll look like, but he said it, and I have to declare it and believe it and confess it and walk in that truth. Many people have the desired healing. This is planting this seed. They want a harvest of healing and a harvest of physical needs met, but they have never planted a seed. The law of Genesis is here again. Everything produces after its time. So if we don't plant that seed, we will not have that harvest. It could be the best, I love this example, you can be the best rice farmer in the state of Arkansas, and you can sit in your house and praise God and believe in your rice, declare that your grandfather believed in rice, your daddy believed in rice, your brother believed in rice, and everybody ought to have a field of rice. It could have 10, you could have 10 tons of seed on your truck out in the yard waiting to be planted. But if you just sit there, praise God, because you believe in rice, it will never harvest not one grain of rice. A lot of Christians are doing that. They're saying, I believe the Lord's able. Yes, brother, I believe he's able to heal me. Well, the devil knows that the Lord is able. That's no profound statement. The thing we must determine is, will he? The word says he will. Then we must start agreeing with that word. The word is what works. It is not the prayer that works. I love that. It's the word and faith that works. Prayer won't make faith work. We thought if we just prayed long enough, or if we could, I don't know what's wrong with this phone, if we prayed long enough, or we would soon, it would soon work out. No, it won't. We need to get this straightened out first. Faith will make prayer work, but prayer won't make faith work. Prayer will work without, faith will work without prayer. Prayer won't work without faith. Now, we have determined from the Word of God that you can have what you expect. Now, if people do, because they never hold their word. Jesus said, I'm just telling to do what he said. Now, I'm smart enough to believe that Jesus knew what he was talking about. Jesus has made a profound statement that you can have what he said. Now, he said it, and we believe it. Do you have that? I don't know where it's coming from. I was going to hang up and dial back in. So I will use
okay, now I need to know if you can hear me
without
the static.
Just take the phone out there.
Oh, hang on, because I don't know what happened. Okay. Oh, you can still hear the static on that phone?
Yeah.
Taking that phone out. But do you hear it when I talk on your phone?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. All right, we're being back. Well, whatever. All right. So, yeah, and actually, this is like one of those chapters I was trying to highlight it, and it's like I'm just doing the whole chapter. So it's we're getting to that part of the chapter that's so powerful that gives us the key to all of this. You can have what you say. And that's something that we're going to build on. We're not going back. We're going to build on it and go forward. Go forward to the place where we will see it manifest in the earth realm. You can say to that mountain to move, and he will move. It says, let's read 1 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Now, is grace and peace going to be, how is it going to be multiplied to you? Through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. What is some of the knowledge of God? Now, that's the question. How his faith works. How does God's faith work? If you find out how his faith works, you will know how your faith is going to work. God never did anything without seeing it first, and you hardly do either. Say, I'm going to go to work, I'm going to go to town, I'm going to go to the store. You say it, and then what happens?
You do it.
Get in motion to do that very thing. Always say it before you do it. Sometimes you may not say it out loud, but you say it. You say it in your spirit. Let me get up now. Programmed to operate that way. In other words, your body will do what you say. Here is where it is a key. So if I say I am, and I am. Programmed. God made us that way because he made us like him. He made us like him who said it, and it came into being. So if you don't say something in faith concerning some of the things you believe, you will never operate in faith in those areas. So if we pick and choose the word of God that we will believe, or even more than believe, we'll stand on it. There's some things, you know, we God said it and we believe it, but we're not trying to live like that. So we're not trying to readjust and transform our behavior like that, because we feel like, well, I'm not Christ. No, you're better than that. You're in Christ. Not you're better than Christ, but you're in Christ. That makes you able to do those things he said and more. And so that is what you have to believe. But you can't just say, oh, he said it, I believe it. You have to act upon it. So if you don't say some things in faith concerning some of the things you believe, then it's going to never operate in your life. The word says in 2 Corinthians 4 and 13, we have the same spirit of faith accordingly as it is written. I'm on page 32. I believe, and therefore have I spoken. Also believe, and therefore speak. You know, out of out of your heart, you declare a thing. If you are sent about it, if you are bracing what it says, and that's why we say no, respect, praise, and obey the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because that's when your mind will be transformed into the mind of Christ. 2 Peter 1 and 3 says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us in glory and in virtue. And so there are some things we just read over. Do we know what he's called us? It says in virtue and in glory. You know what glory is? Do you know what his virtue is? That's knowing God. And sometimes that is the thing that the God we don't know. We don't understand the virtue of God. We don't fully understand the glory of God. Why we can't even look upon it and live, because it is just so beyond the scope of our humanity, because our flesh is still involved, which is why we will see his glory face to face when we let go of this body and we wake up in glory. And so that's a place that is just so marvelously, and you can't say it without using the word glorious, that it defines conversation and explanation and definition. And it's something that you just have to experience. It's a virtue of God and a knowledge of him that empowers us to obey his word and to believe it and to stand on it. Be totally convinced in the guy driving the car is going to move out of the way. Just as we are, we're not stopping till we get to glory. His divine power has given unto us all things. There's nothing outside of all things. A house through the knowledge of God. The only reason we don't have all things is because we don't understand all in the knowledge of God of how he works. We don't understand his character. And we can say he's this, he's that, and we can say a lot of things. But do we understand the power and the force behind those things that we say? Because the trees do, and the ocean do, and the mountains do, because they get up and clap, and there's no life in them. Yet there's life in us, and we have to feel like it before we will do it. Because he is saying that if you get the knowledge of God, then you have the understanding of God, then you have the wisdom of God, and the wisdom of God is the word of God. So when you have the understanding, the knowledge, the wisdom, then you got the word. And when you have the word, just as God did in the beginning, he said, let there be. And his word produced the force they got this stupid movie on, a program, The Big Bang Theory. There was a bang, all right. The bang came from the power and the force of his word that created something that had never existed, nor was there any imagination that could have brought it into existence aside from an awesome God sitting on the crest of humanity, on the crest of civilization, on the crest of the universe, creating a world. He then said that he has given to you by his divine ability all things that pertain to life and godliness. So here's another thing. What is his divine ability? So if we say I can't, I don't, it won't, then we don't understand the divine ability of God, because God never fails. He said it shall be. And so we're not understanding something about that virtue of God that is without error, without failure. It is without match. Nothing can match it. Nothing can overcome it. Everything has to stop his will. So we wonder, well, we don't. He gave us that ability because he wanted us to understand our inheritance. So when you just give, just like with the prodigal son, when you just give them what they want, when they want, the way they want it, they don't know what to do with it. And they end up losing portions of it, though they're not losing all of it. But what they're doing is they are handling something that was they were allowed to handle because God's got the whole program in place. And some things he will let us do. He will allow us to go through. The father allowed the prodigal son to go through his money. He didn't have to. He could have called him back, went and sent somebody to get him, bring him back, lock him in his room till he had some sense. But no, he let you stay on out there, you know, because you need to understand some of my virtue. My virtue is beyond your understanding as it relates to what I do with my money, as it relates for us with what God does with his ability. What he does with his ability, then he gives us this divine ability. What he does with it, he doesn't have to explain it to us to go somewhere, sit down, and to experience it. When we do, then that's a little closer we get to understanding the wisdom of God, knowledge of God, understanding that aspect of God. Finances also pertain to life. So whatever pertains to life and godliness, that's another thing. We read these things and go, oh, yeah, but we need to stop. Wisdom, God, what is godliness? You know, what is life? What pertains to life? What is the thing that we live by? So when we see what it is, then he's given me all. He's given me all. I have read somewhere, oh, it's right here. It says, but God shall supply all your need. Not with an S. Not them things that you need this, I need that. No. All your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's a phrase we do not have full understanding of, that are in glory and is by Christ Jesus. And we need to just lay there for like 10 days, get that revelation of his riches in glory. That's how Christ was raised from the dead. Part of the glory of God, the power of God. But he says that he will supply. I have it. I'm not going to give it all to you. Supply you with it every time you need. So it's not that he's making spoiled children. No, he's making mature children that look like him. Having abundant supplies in life and godliness ought to have abundance. Word says you can if you act on the word of faith. If you begin to do it now, it won't happen overnight. That's the thing that we have to find. It won't happen overnight. It won't happen just because you say it once or twice. Continuously affirm what God's word says until it gets into your spirit and becomes a part of you. With meekness and word, which is able to save your soul. Said the word of God engrafted into our spirit will save our soul. The word of God engrafted in your spirit will deliver you from every circumstance in life. So there is not a thing upon you God does not have a word of escape for you in. Word and ride that train for it. And that's not necessarily heaven, but that's to the abundant life. So that the enemy knows no matter what I do to these train tracks, that train don't stop. You're right. We ain't stopping till we get to glory because we understand we don't need train tracks because we have the divine ability of God, the creator of the universe, the creator of creation. And so because of that, we go forth and we are delivered. If you have the word for it, get it into your spirit. It will deliver you. If you will continuously believe and affirm that, I don't care how big the mountain looks. You should not be moved by what you see. You shall only be motivated by what you believe. The word is the final authority. The final authority of God and the final authority in and over your life when you are in Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This has just been a very powerful, and we just halfway through this chapter. But I do want to give you opportunity to share and to comment and to I know we had a little problem there with the static. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, it's a silent class, even though it's a lot of y'all on here, but praise the Lord. I do realize we were sitting here and the apostle passed out communion. And I would say if you prepare for it and prepare for it for this day so that God's word will find the place that you believe the blood and the body covers. It'll find that place. And allow it to stand in your thinking, in your actions, and in your heart. We just thank God for revealing to us the power that he's given to us because he needs a people who will be willing to do what his son did for this world. And so to do it, we have to be prepared for it. You know, Christ was prepared to come down because he has spent an eternity knowing the God of creation. So he knew, he had a knowledge of God that carried him through any and all the things that happened here when he came to redeem mankind. So we praise God, we worship him. We are so grateful to you for sharing and being here with us today. This tongue, a creative force, little book, but pretty powerful. Okay. All right. Well, praise the Lord, and do enjoy, embrace, obey the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He came. He came to show us what we need, to give us what we don't have, to correct the wrong way that we may be thinking, to rebuild or restore and rejuvenize and
He's got a ministry, and he is eager to do what the Lord has told him to do so that we can do what the Lord told us to do. Well, praise God. Love you guys. Enjoy the weekend.
Amen.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
Amen. God bless.
Amen. God bless. Yeah.
So we do while we all run. Oh, man, they gone. Okay. Okay, we'll do it. Okay.
All of the places he said is doing, and it's a liberty that we've won back, and it's all with our words. So as we take it, we stand in agreement with the world, and we live in and with angels.
Amen.
We want those personal word purposes.
Amen.
Very popular. I mean, I don't like the book, but very, very powerful message. Now, my book has been missing.
Has it not over there?
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I'm not purposely not doing, well, I mean, I didn't put forth a great effort, but, you know, she reads out the book anyway. But I didn't know where my book was at.
Hang up.